here at Brighton Fringe with Lucy Hopkins. Lucy, your surprise show, I'm going to hold you to account for this, was more of a surprise for you, really.
Yes, it's always a surprise for me. Yeah.
But this was you deciding to go on, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just going in. It's about making a show happen in the moment with everybody that's there and trying to find the best way to do that every night. So every time the show's got a completely different event, thus the title.
And a sense that to do that you've surrendered.
I'm trying to surrender my and at the same time keep responsibility for the space. That's my job, so that it's not a complete abandon, but not trying to impose too much. I impose sometimes. Yesterday I wanted to tell things, so yesterday I told some things. It was a bit less interactive. Today I want to try another thing.
But there was a set of circumstances too where another show was billed and you had to decide whether to do this one and not leave your audience, you know, abject and bereft.
Yes, devastated. Actually, the show was, it was originally going to be a duo with a friend of mine who, due to unforeseen circumstances, couldn't make the gig. And so the new show that I'm working on wasn't ready. And I thought, I'll just make something up. And all praise to Adrian at the Spiegel Tent for going with it. When I said, look, I think we could just do, like, a surprise event. We'll do, like, tickets aren't very expensive. And then I'll just, you know, like, work it out. And it has turned out to be a fascinating, really exciting research for me.
Personal development.
Oh gosh, I hope not too much personal development. Yeah, in a way. I mean, Friday's show, you were at Friday's show. That was sort of, I knew that Sarah would come on, who's an Alexander Technique therapist who I work with in London. She's a very skilled woman. And I wanted to bring her onto the show, so I thought it might shift something. I thought it just might be interesting. And it really did. I didn't anticipate quite how that would manifest. I didn't, but there we are. That's part of the thing.
It is, but, you know, Le Foulard, you know, was much more designed and scripted than this.
Totally. But Le Foulard did grow in a similar way to this, in a way. Like, I worked on that for a couple of years, growing little parts of it, trying, doing experiments, flapping about with a scarf. So it did grow organically. So this is sort of a way of creating and a way of making work that I defend as a really important one.
Yeah. And in a way, it felt to me that this brought something, and it's not that it was lacking in Le Foulard, but part of the fool has to be that you have to surrender to the audience.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's something really exciting. We really share a moment when we all know we don't know what's going on. Then we also see how something can come out of nothing, and we watch it unfold in front of us, me too, and it feels quite fair to be on the same terrain as the audience. It's just a different dynamic, but one that I think what the feedback that I've got so far is that people have been really happy to participate in that, which I'm really thrilled about. I was a bit worried about I'd be asking too much of people, you know, I'd be asking too much of the audience, like, just watch me flap about. So it seems that we're creating an engaging moment up until now. So I hope so, but you tell me, you were there.
Well, I can't get my head around it, to use a horrible expression, because in a way you're very expressive and very bold and very brash and confident, and yet the reason why the audience collaborates is because of the humility that's there. Otherwise we wouldn't, would we?
Right, I guess so. I guess I'm always searching to actually collaborate, really. So I do whatever I need to do for people to trust that I really do want people to collaborate.
But also, you're not taking yourself too seriously.
No. Yeah, I can't. I'm too much of an idiot. I can't.
And yet also, there were some bits of delivery that you just decided to throw in too. We had a lecture on, you know, menstruation at one point.
No, that wasn't made up.
But I'm not saying it wasn't made up, but you decided to deliver it.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yes. Well, that's it, isn't it? That's the line of, like, how much I can give things and what I should give. Yeah, it was really nice to talk about periods.
It was stand-up.
Yeah, it was a bit, wasn't it? Well, only that I was standing up. I mean, What are all these labels, Paul?
Well, all they are is that I think you'd given yourself permission to experiment in the show. We therefore gave, for some reason, gave you permission to do that, and then it became collaborative. And so then one moment we are absolutely interactive, but the next moment we are there and, you know, you're in command.
Yeah, it's true. And that line is one that I negotiate every single show, because it is my show. People have bought tickets. So there is that element to it. They are an audience and I am the performer. And then it's like, so what can we do with that? What can we do with those roles? But and so that line is one that I negotiate every single time. It's different every single time.
And because we're on board, it's sort of, we labour with you.
Yeah, I know, it was full on, wasn't it, on Friday? Well, I think the thing that I've found and I've learned in workshop situations and in creative process in general is that you start off, you go with an intention, you go for it, and then you get lost and it gets like, this is a nightmare, and it gets very like, oh my God, no, but it's actually a nightmare. And then we all fall into a hole and then something happens that we're not sure, and then we kind of come out with a thing. So I'm trying to just be brave enough to let that happen and trust that we are going to come out with a thing, because you always do. In every creative process I've been through, you do come out with a thing. You don't just not come out with a thing, you know. Or you totally break apart and, you know, you say, we'll never work together again, or, I don't know, it falls down completely. But my job as the performer is to try and ensure that when we leave each other, we want to look each other in the eyes and that we've shared a thing, not that we're like, that was awful. That's like the ideal.
But and also in this place of sort of naked improvisation, you've got your skills. And so, I mean, we could list your training and what you draw upon. And I've always believed that our skills are both our resources and our curses. And it feels like, you know, you were drawing on skills, otherwise it wouldn't work. But other times you were almost trying to throw them out of the circus tent.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It's always that line. And that's especially the line with any clown work. It's like the skill of it and the undoing of the immediate undoing and the immediate stripping back to be, I don't know, like all in the same team somehow. And actually
I love it. We keep running out of sentence.
I know. I just don't find the end of them, much like the show.
So 7 minutes, 7 minutes into this interview, what the fuck is your show about?
It's about whatever is actually present in the room. Yeah. And that could be, I don't know what that is, trying to find out like everybody else.
Yeah. But you sort of hung it on an attempt by you and the audience to create a story together.
Yeah, I did on Friday. I let that go yesterday. I think a story will be created. I don't think I need to come in imposing story onto it. So now, every time, after every show, well, the two shows that I've done of this, I think less. Now take that out. Now take that out. Now take that out. So there's less, less, less. Because the less there is, the more that we can see what's actually there in my mind. Or I can find it out. We can all find it out, you know. So I hope to keep doing it. Actually, I'm really delighted that it's a really exciting show format that we just make up. We'll go and see what it is. It's like the show's in the room, we just have to go and find it and make it live it. And I like that. It feels dangerous.
Okay, so how do you make sure that if you keep doing it that the dangerousness doesn't institutionalise?
Because I think what will probably happen is that I will get better at knowing what to provide. Like, it's almost like get the right question, get the right thing at the beginning, get a right question, and then also get better at living actually the moment. It will be dangerous. I don't know. I'll have to keep practicing it. It could get scripted. Yesterday I repeated a thing that I'd done the night before, which is all right, just to see. Yeah, it's all right. But it's more interesting if it just happens.
Do you think theatre needs this at the moment?
I need it. I want it in my theatrical life, yes. I think what has been surprising is to find that the audience seemed quite willing, quite happy that I was even trying to work in that way. which I didn't anticipate. So that tells me that, yeah, people are like a bit gagging for it somewhere on some level. I don't think it's to replace anything. I think there's a great pleasure in a polished, finished product that I really like as well. But it's almost like a gym. It's almost like, oh, let's just do that. It's like a thing we can just do together somehow. It feels like that, which is really, feels like healthy and somehow a bit subversive, which I really enjoy.
And also, it reached a natural conclusion and we're all ready to leave. And then it went on for another half an hour. And actually, the people that I was with afterwards, but all said they thought that was really courageous and they were glad that you carried on.
Well, for me, it's like, I said it was an hour, so we'll do an hour. You know, I mean, because, but that would be only because that at the minute I'm putting that show fitting into a festival format where I say the show will be an hour. People buy a ticket for an hour.
It was an hour and a half.
No, it wasn't.
Or an hour and 20. It was.
No, was it?
No, it really was, honestly. I wish we'd bet money on this. It was.
No, I had a watch on.
Okay, well, your watch was as mad as the format.
That's possible. Oh, fuck. Was it an hour and 20 minutes? Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, people coming out kind of felt they were glad. And it was almost like, okay, so it's going on. And yeah, we're going on. And we're glad that she's not following the rules.
Oh, right. Good. Yeah, great. I'm thrilled. I'm just so happy people are willing to do that and to come with me. I'm really amazed and delighted. It feels like a really exciting thing.
But the reason they do is that you are a trained clown, a performer. You can sing, you can tell stories. And I'm not saying that they're there to cheat in the background, but you are drawing on all of that. This wouldn't work if you weren't skilled.
Yeah, sure. It's true that I have always been a show-off, and now I have the skills to show off in a way that forces people to look at me. So, yes, that's true. But I think that's... Yeah, that's important. That's important. That's like my bunch of skills. I think what would be amazing is, imagine if we could uncover everybody's different flavour in the, I don't know. Yeah, that's my skill set. But it's just another skill set, isn't it?
Yeah. So when the audience are telling you stuff, you know, are you completely surprised by it? Or are you using technique?
What, to plant sentences in their
mind? Yeah, are you just manipulating
them? Yeah, I'm a very powerful hypnotist, Paul. Yeah. You will have experienced yourself.
Yeah, but is it pure raw material, what's coming from the audience? Are you genuinely in the moment?
I'm trying to be. Whether I actually am, I don't know. Trying every time. Trying constantly to be. So sometimes more and sometimes less. And we all know it. We all feel it. And we're all sometimes have our great attention and then sometimes it wavers. So, but yeah, that's the aim. That's the aim. I don't know what people are going to say. I knew that Sarah was going to practice, but I didn't know what that would bring. You know, so I know, and some of my mates are in there, and I know that we know each other, but I don't know, like, who that could be.
Yeah. And do you think, as a performer that does quite a lot of shows and may do quite a lot more in the future, that it's probably good for everybody in any field? You know, whether if I'm a cook and I've made a load of recipes just to get back in the kitchen and start throwing food around.
Definitely. Absolutely, definitely. I think that's crucial. It also feels like it's a good... it's like, look, I'm a performer and I put together a show and I can work professionally, but, you know, I'm in the same shit as everyone else, actually. We're all just splashing about trying to work something out. It feels something like that. So it feels honest and therefore healthy. And I have to be humble then, because I'm showing that I don't have anything. And that feels like a healthy thing to do for my own sorry ego.
Lucy Hopkins splashing about. Thanks very much.
Thank you.